to your people. And I thank you for that, Father. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive as well. Father, I thank you for those that are watching by live stream. Father, I pray that they will be hearers as well, and not just hearers, but doers of your word. And Father, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Now, last Sunday, I ministered on the subject of the tithe question. Y'all, those of you that were here, you remember, right?
Amen.
The tithe question. And there's been a whole lot of discussion over the past few weeks about the tithe. Do we tithe or don't we tithe? You know, should I tithe or not? And so, it's caused a lot of discussion. And it's caused some confusion as well. Now, I ministered it last Sunday, and actually I personally meant for it to be a one service message, but it didn't work out that way. There's some other things that I know I need to cover. And so let me say this again to you. What is important, folks, listen to me good. What's important is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the Word of God. Not what I think or what you think. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I want to jump back into this, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front where I stand on this. I believe, according to the Word of God, that a man of God, woman of God, a believer should tithe.
Amen.
Yes. Now, it's easy not to. And I made this statement that when it comes to money, you get folks' attention. We are told in the Bible to walk in the Spirit, and we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what we're told. We're told to walk in the Spirit, and if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why do we need to walk in the Spirit? Because we live in a natural body. We live in a natural body. We have a mind, listen to me good, we have a mind that must continually be renewed. You still with me?
Amen.
So now, if we leave it solely to how we feel or what we think on our own, we're not going to do what's right. Because it's not always easy to do what's right. In other words, it's hard on the flesh to do what's right. Now, you know, if you make $100 or somebody give you $100, you know, naturally speaking, it's easier to give God $10 of that. For some people, some folks, that's a struggle. But then if you receive a check for $10,000, then it's real hard to give God 10% of that. Not to mention you got 9,000 left. What point am I making? That's the flesh. That's natural human. That's the way you feel naturally. But when you love God and you're committed to obeying him, and we're going to get into some of that, you don't give it a second thought. When your thought process tries, wait a minute. Shut up. You know, sometimes you have to tell yourself to shut up. You got to remember what God said and what he promised. God promised me and he promised you that he would never, never. What does never mean?
Never.
It means never. He promised us that he would never leave us and that he would never forsake us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I made a decision. I'm going to take him at his word. Because if I don't take him at his word, the situation and circumstances around me will cause me to do something contrary to what he said. Because I'm human and I'm thinking naturally. When we're told to walk in the Spirit. And how you do that? You walk in the Word of God. You obey the Word of God. You obey what he says. And then you put yourself in position to be able to run through every troop, leap over every wall, because the Lord your God is with you. Amen. Now, let me move on. I meant to check the time here. Glory to God. Now, last week, I pointed out to you, and I'm not going to re-preach last week, just point some things out to you, but you can go back and watch it on YouTube or Facebook if you'd like. But last week, I pointed out, And here's the argument, by the way. Before I read this, here's the argument. The argument is, or the discussion is, tithing is no longer for today because now we are under grace and we're not under the law. We're under grace. Well, yes, we are under grace through Christ Jesus. Amen. We are under grace. But here's what you have to understand, though, that tithing was done in practice before the law, the Mosaic law. It was, yes, amen. And I won't go that far back, but you can see some evidence of it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But I pointed out to you that So some are saying, well, since we're no longer under the law, we are not under the Mosaic law, we're not required to tithe. And I asked a very important question last week, and I'm going to ask the question again this week. Why are we dealing with this now? Do you know that the devil would love for you to stop supporting the work of God? If he can get us fussing and fighting and arguing over stuff, we become weak and ineffective. Do you hear me? We become weak and ineffective. He don't necessarily mind us being here as long as we don't bother him. So let me move on. So I pointed out to you that tithing was before the Mosaic law. And by the way, tithe means tenth, one-tenth of your income. And number two, Abraham himself gave tithes to Melchizedek, which was the high priest. He was a high priest. And so Abraham gave tithes to him. You'll find that in Genesis. We won't go there, I don't think, but in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 through 23, and also Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. It talks about that Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, which was God's high priest. And we went on to find out that when he met Melchizedek, Melchizedek had bread and wine for Abraham. He was called Abram at that time, but he had bread and wine for him. Now, automatically, that lets us know that God is going into covenant with Abraham. Amen. Abraham was a covenant man. Guess what? And I told you this last week, and I'll be real quick. As believers, we're covenant people with Christ Jesus. As they were seated together, the Bible says Jesus took bread, he broke it, gave it to them. He said, take and eat it. And as often as you eat this, you are to eat it in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what? Of what he has done for us. Y'all still here? And then afterwards, it says that he took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave it to them. He said, take and drink. This cup is, the King James Version says, New Testament in my blood. And that word New Testament means covenant. So every time we take communion, we are remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we are remembering our covenant with him. Hallelujah. We're remembering that covenant. We're remembering that by his stripes we were healed. We are remembering that because of his shed blood, our sins have been washed away. Anytime that the devil tries to remind me of what I used to be, I remind him of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am no longer that person. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I have a covenant with him. I told you that you don't have to wait till you get to church to have communion. You can have it right by yourself. You hear me? You can have it right by yourself, or you can have it with your family. Because sometimes we need to remember when we're not at church. Amen. If you're born again, you're a child of God. You have a right to take communion. Bless the name of the Lord. I pointed out to you that, by the way, this Mosaic law was actually given more than 400 years after Adam. More than 400 years after Adam. And not only did Abraham give tithes, it's recorded that his grandson Jacob also did. Was a tither. And now I want to, like I told you last week, I want to try to tie all this together so that you can understand it better. Some things we need to know about Abraham. First of all, Abraham was a man of faith. He believed the promises of God, and those promises that God gave him was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, what about us today? What about? Now we've talked about before the law. Let's look at where we are right now. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. Okay, I'll just pick it up at verse 1. Why not? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see that? Therefore, know that only those, are you still with me? Verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of what? Finish that verse. Whoa, are you of faith? Then if you are of faith, then guess what? You are a son or a daughter of Abraham. Verse 7 again, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And listen at this. Look at verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And just in case you don't know, the Gentiles are the non-Greeks. I'm sorry, non-Jews. If a person is not a Jew, then they was called a Gentile. So it's talking to us Gentiles. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. Who did he preach it to? But he's going to justify the Gentiles. Right? And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Not just Israel. All the nations, Abraham, is going to be blessed through you. Read out loud verse 9. Hopefully they have it on verse 9, Galatians 3:9. Put it on the screen for me. Read it nice and loud. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Hallelujah. Says he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, it says, for he made him, this is Jesus Christ, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that he might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you something. I am in Christ Jesus. I have placed my faith in him. Therefore, I'm a son of Abraham. Are you still here? I am a son of Abraham through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, turn to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. You know, people in Jesus' day was no different than they are today. People are just people. So, let me see where I want to pick this up at. I'll just pick it up at verse 31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, said, we are Abraham's descendants. See that? That's what they told him. See, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? See, and now they're trying to teach Jesus. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Oh, Jesus didn't mix words, did he? He was quick to tell him, you are your father, the devil. Now stay with me here. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Are you ready for this? They said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, why did I read verse 39? If we are Abraham's children, by faith in Christ, we'll do the works of Abraham. What was one of the works of Abraham? He was a tither. He was a tither. Glory to God. Y'all still out there, aren't you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want to bring this in as quick as I can, but I think there's something that we need to understand. Now, they gave tithes to the priest under the law. And their tithes was used to support the work of that ministry, the priests and everything that needed to be done. That's what their tithe, and they gave offerings too, by the way. It wasn't just tithing, but I'm just focusing on the tithe right now. But they gave to support the work of the Lord, and God told them to do it. And there were times when they were rebuked when they didn't do it. Okay? What about now? Listen at this. They gave to the high priest during the law, the priest. When we give our tithes today, who do we give it to? Who do we give it to? Let me tell you something. When we give our tithe and our offering today, we are giving it to our high priest, Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. You got to grab that. See, you got to think spiritually. You got to stay focused on the Word of God, because when you get over into the natural, you won't understand it, and it's confused. It'll mess you up. You have to understand who are you giving to. Now let me say something. If Jesus Christ himself walked in this church and you knew it was him, and he, no doubt whatsoever, you knew it was him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in our presence. And he walked over to you, wherever you may be seated in the sanctuary, and say, "Son, daughter, I'm Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior." And you know that he's not a fake. You know, the devil ain't deceiving you, you know. And he would say, "Son, daughter, right now, your Lord is asking you to write a check for half of what you have in your savings." Now you may have a pile, but let me tell you something. You knew it was Jesus? Yes, sir. Matter of fact, Lord, you sure you don't want more? You sure you don't want more, Lord? After all, you died for me. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my body. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from that accident or whatever. We could go on and on and on. But if he was standing here and you saw him, you wouldn't give it a second thought. None of us would. Because we know this is Jesus I'm talking to. Well, he's not here in the flesh, but he is here. Now, let's take a look. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm trying to speed this up. Hebrews chapter 6. Y'all still out there, ain't you? Yeah. All right. You love the Word of God?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'll go ahead and read this one first. Listen, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence beyond the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus." Remember, Jesus is our high priest. Now, I don't have time to go into all of it, but the high priest was authorized by God to go in behind the veil on behalf of the people. And, of course, I'm condensing this real good. He had to make sure that his sins was taken care of before he went in there, because you just don't go in there. You die, brother. And even the high priest, I'm talking about the natural high priest now. If the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies without his sins being covered, they'd have to drag him out of there. And that's the reason he always had something attached to him with bells on it. That is, if the folks out in the congregation or the outer courts or whatever didn't hear any noise, the bells stopped ringing or jingling, they said, uh-oh, he's gone. So they couldn't go in to get him. They died because they were in the presence of the Holy of Holies. So they had to drag him out of there. They would have to drag him out. So he had to have something attached to him. But let me tell you something. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, don't need anything attached to him. He has entered into the Holy of Holies for you and for me. So verse 20 says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever. How? According to the order of Melchizedek. Now, what did Abraham do for Melchizedek? He gave him his tithe. Jesus Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What should we be doing for our high priest? Glory be to God. Just hang with me just a little bit longer. Let's flip on over to chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. In verse 17, and I'm trying to speed this up a little bit, says, for he testifies, God testifies, talking to his son Jesus Christ, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Do you see that? Yes. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So let me tell you something, brothers, sisters. When we give our tithe and when we give our offering, we have to understand that we are giving our tithe and our offering to our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became our high priest to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the work of his ministry here in the earth. Jesus don't need our tithe in heaven. He needs our tithe and our offerings here in the earth. Are you still here? Because the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ must continue. And God had a plan to support his ministry through his people. And it's the tithe and the offering. Jesus Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we give and we tithe to him. Every Sunday, whenever you give your tithe and offering, your focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me, please? And I know we're living in a time now when, you know, folks give online and you know, I guess that's okay. It ain't like the old time, though. I tell you what, the old time was good, you know. But I understand, you know, methods change. But let me tell you something. Even when you give online or however it is that you give, you need to be focused in on your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who suffered for you, who gave his all for you and me. He has become our high priest. So when we give to him. One other thing I want to share with you, then I will quit. I thought this was Well, it blessed me. I'll put it to you this way. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter. Now, in Revelation, the first chapter, for the sake of time, you understand, you've heard the story of the Apostle John, how he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, and there he had a visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he told him to write, and he wrote the book of Revelation, right? Now, this is some things that Jesus said to him. I'll begin reading verse 18. This is the first chapter of Revelation. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades or hell, and of death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now, there's been some discussion over the angels of the seven churches. I've heard some preach that this was an actual angel. Then I've heard others preach that he was talking to the pastors of those churches. I believe he was talking to the pastors of those churches. Now, in the Greek, the word pastor, especially if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and some other places, the Greek word for pastor is poimen, okay? Poimen. I mean, that may not mean anything to you, but I'm just pointing it out to you that the Greek word for pastor is poimen. But angel here, the Greek word for angel here is angelos. Angelos. And for that reason, some folks are saying, well, it can't be pastor. It must be an angel. Well, you know, I'm not going to argue with anybody, but I personally believe that he's talking to the pastors. And if you do some study on it, you'll find out that even the scholars refer back to the pastoral ministry also as well. But now listen to what Jesus is saying. I'm making a point here as I get ready to close. Y'all still with me? I don't want to feel like I'm rambling now. I want you to get this. Let me read verse 20 again. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels or pastors of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now, let's go to the first verse of chapter 2. To the angel, or pastor, some say messenger, of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he, who hold the seven stars, the pastors, in his right hand. And by the way, let me stop right there just a moment. The pastor is supposed to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever his right hand moves, the pastor should go with it. Are you still with me for a moment? Just, I'm about done. But Jesus is saying, I'm holding the pastors in my right hand. That means the pastors need to flow with him. The pastors need to be obedient to him. But listen to what else he said. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Look at this. Who walks where? Who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Remember, Jesus said the lampstands are the what? The churches. What is Jesus saying? Now, and that's not limited to these seven churches. Jesus is saying, I am walking in the midst of my church. I hope you're hearing me. I am walking in the midst of my church. I want you to know he knows what Word of Life is, and he's here today. And he knows what we're doing right, and he knows what we're doing wrong, just like he did the seven churches. And I believe he spoke to those seven churches through their pastors, whether it's called stars, angels, or whatever. You may disagree with me. That's okay. You know, we won't fall out over that. But here's what I'm saying is Jesus knows what's going on in his church, every church. He knows the ones that were raised up by the Holy Ghost and the ones that just decided to just do something themselves for whatever reason. But let me tell you something. I'm closing. Jesus is right in the church, this church and every other church. When the tithe and the offerings are given, the high priest is there to receive them. Oh, I hope you hear me today. Our high priest is there to receive them. We give to him because we love him. Somebody look up and say, welcome here, Lord Jesus. Oh, my basiku, my shani basa. My wife and I have been tithers a long time. This week we're celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary. This coming Thursday. I've been tithing more than 50 years myself, as soon as I found out about it, and she has ever since I shared it with her. Lisa sing that song that blesses me so much. All my life, Lord, you've been faithful. All my life, Lord, you have been so, so good. Even when times were tough, we stuck with it because we had a high priest that we knew would not ever let us down. David said, I was young, and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed begging for bread. And I'm here to tell you, with everything that's in me, my God is faithful. Let's be faithful to him. Give the Lord some praise, will you? He's faithful, folks. Thank you, Lord Jesus.